Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Brother Thurman, and I welcome you to this Bible study, to this recording that we're going to have today in the ABCs of Christian Growth. We're going to be probably finishing up study number 20, the letter T, for tithing and stewardship. And we've been talking about what the Bible has to say and what the Lord's will and his mind is concerning tithing and stewardship and getting it from the Bible. And what does the Bible say? And it's been pretty good, hasn't it? Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're not sorry for studying God's Word, and we're not sorry for knowing what it says. We rejoice in what the Lord's mind is concerning things and how he teaches us. That's the way we are, isn't it? I'm not ashamed of the Lord, are you? And you shouldn't be, especially his Word. The Lord thinks more highly of his Word than he does his own name. That's what it says in Psalm 138, verse 2. So let's get in here and see what the rest of this tithing and stewardship matters about in the Scripture. And the Bible says where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also, remember? We began talking about tithing and stewardship, and that people think it when somebody talks about tithing and stewardship. You see, the Lord, that's not between you and the preacher, your tithing and stewardship. It's not between you and the brethren, or you and the church, or you and the body in tithing and stewardship. It's between you and the Lord. The Bible doesn't say, there's not a middleman between you and the Lord when it comes to your tithe and it comes to your stewardship. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you, your heart, and the Lord's heart. And we talked about principles of stewardship. Now, don't go looking at your papers, if you got them, or your notes. I'm sure you already know these anyway, but there were four principles to tithing and stewardship that we needed to learn to begin with. You remember what they were? Okay, well, let's go over them. Number one, everything belongs to God. If we could remember that everything belongs to God, it kind of puts the pressure that the world and the devil and your flesh tries to put on you and the enemy tries to put on you concerning your money and concerning your bank account and concerning your stocks and your bonds and your scratches on your car and all that kind of gobbledygook that don't mean diddly squat. That's some of them koine words that we use in the street, right? Somebody taught me that and used that. That's the first time I ever said that, koine. I might have even said it wrong, but it just means street language. But anyway, principles, you hear me practicing every now and then. Principle number one, everything belongs to God. And principle number two is stewardship is a management of the affairs of another. Stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. And then the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 14 that every Christian is a steward. Everybody receives responsibility from the Lord. Okay? And there is something. The Bible says that the Lord places you in the body. Now, we're talking to born-again Christians. If you're listening to this and you're not born again, and this doesn't make any sense, you just hang in there and listen to it anyway, because we're going to try to get you saved, and you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I didn't say you had to. I said you need to, and you should, because the Lord died for you, and he wants you in heaven with him. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you haven't been saved, then you keep listening, okay? But particularly for the ones that are listening to this in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, every Christian is a steward. The Lord has placed you in the body, the Bible says, in particular. You're in a particular place, a chosen place in the body that the Lord knew that you would fit perfectly. Okay? And you're to find out what that is. Ask the Lord what that is. And if you don't already know, and do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God and for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, the Bible says. Principle number four was what? It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. And if you're listening to this right now, you're a good example of faithfulness. Because you're not faithful to me. I'm going to do this because this is what the Lord's taught me how to do. And I do it, I really do it the best I know how, but I don't do it in a fakey fake kind of way. I don't want to be a fake person. I want to be genuine. I want to be sincere. I want to keep my heart with all diligence because I know my heart. And I know where it'll run off in a ditch in a hurry. So I just want to keep these things in line, and I don't want to mislead anybody either. That's why we stay in the book. What does the book say? And as long as we do that, and as long as you do that, even if I disappear out of your life, as long as you will go by what God's Word says and what it says and believe Him and exercise His Word and make it part of your heart and saturate yourself with it, you're not going to have any problem walking with the Lord. It's His Word. And that's what He says. So there's the principles. We talked about some areas of stewardship and began talking about that in different aspects. For instance, the stewardship of our time. We talked about that time quite a bit, didn't we? And went through there and established that we got more time than we thought we did, but it's only time. But then again, it is very, very important because the Bible tells us that we are to redeem the time in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 16. That we're supposed to make every minute count. Now, I'm guilty of that. It's hard for me to think about every minute. But then sometimes, I mean, time changes. It changes in your mind and changes in reality somehow or another. I don't know how to explain that. Sometimes you talk to two different people, like a middle-aged boy, and he'll say, "Time's not going fast enough. I can't wait till I get 12 years old," you know. And then you talk to some elders, and they say, "Man, time has gone by so fast. It's just, you look back and 70 years are gone." So time changes, but time is there, and the Lord said for us to redeem the time. We can't understand time. Only thing we can do is redeem it. We can redeem it and do the best that we can for the Lord. And that's what we want to do anyway, isn't it? Yes, it is. So the stewardship of our time, and I know y'all have already prayed about that and asked the Lord where you could be more pleasing to Him concerning your time, and I'm sure you've already incorporated it and into your walk with the Lord, and good for you. The stewardship of our talents we talked about, what you are able to do for the Lord and talents that the Lord's given to you, and I went over a few examples, and I've known some people that just man, I wish I could do something like that for the Lord. But we got to be careful about saying that, too, because just like we was talking about a while ago, the Lord sets us in particular in the body. And you wouldn't be, the Lord takes everything into consideration. He takes your past and your present and your future, and He knows things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. I don't know how many hairs I have on my head. Do you? The Lord does. It says He does. That's what the Bible says. That He knows every hair on your head and counts them and knows. I don't know that, but the Lord does. And the Lord knows where we fit, what we can do, and we're not to covet anything that somebody else is doing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying, "I wish I could sing like that guy or sing like that girl." And that's just liking to sing, you know. Man, I sound like a mule squalling or something. I don't know what in the world. If I sound like that to myself, I can imagine what it sounds like to anybody else. But I wish I could sing. But I was in a choir one time, and boy, we'd done some kind of presentation, and boy, that singing got so spiritual it made me cry. And there's beauty in singing. I know in the Bible it says we're going to be standing before the Lord's throne, all of us, and thousands among thousands of thousands are going to be singing glory to God. And that is going to be incredible, isn't it? isn't it? You don't think you're going to shed some tears with that? There's going to be tears of joy, my brothers and sisters. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So, moving right along here, we talked about the stewardship of our talents, and then we went on into the stewardship of our testimony. And we didn't talk very long on that, but I don't think there's much to talk about. You either got a testimony or you don't. You either run around with the devil's crowd and don't care about what kind of representation that you give for the Lord, or it's very important to you. Having a testimony is a matter of having integrity and having dignity and having diligence and being prudent. And having a testimony is something that you you don't have to work on, and you do have to work on. And what I mean by that is to say that the enemy is always trying to mess up your testimony or sabotage it somehow or another, or throw a wile at it, you know, and trying to mess your testimony up in some way and by trickery and wiles. But in another kind of way, if your heart is pure, and you mean business with the Lord, and you're not trying to hide anything from the Lord, and there's nothing between you and Him, and you're keeping the pathway between you and the Lord from your heart to His heart is clean. You're not trying to hide anything from Him. As far as you know, you've confessed all your sin. You're walking before Him because you want to, not because you have to. You can tell Him that you love Him and mean it, and you know Him. And your testimony will remain clean and remain good before the Lord because the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy to be at peace with him. That's tremendous, isn't it? So moving on into, we talked about the tithing part of it. Is it scriptural? Is tithing a Bible, a doctrine? Is tithing a Bible what we're supposed to believe as Christians and following the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. Tithing's found all through the Scripture, from Genesis all the way through the Scriptures. Remember, we talked about Abraham and sorry about all the us. I had to figure something out first. Abraham and Jacob. Abraham and Jacob they tithed and thought it was necessary to tithe before the Lord, before the law, 500 years before the law. And then remember Moses and Malachi and the Lord Jesus Christ, they spoke of tithing during the law, when the law was active, when that dispensation of the law was active when the Lord was dealing with the Jews with the law and brought the Gentiles in just before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene and was born and died for us and around in that time. So anyway, Malachi and the Lord Jesus Christ and Moses were during the law. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about even tithing after the law. So the Scriptures are not ashamed to talk about money. They don't talk about money as a god. They talk about money as a tool and money as an enemy and money as that can be a blessing to people and things like that. But as far as using it, but not abusing it. The Lord talked about money. He talked about paying taxes and things like that, and even had Peter go fishing to get some so that for the necessities that they needed to go pay taxes so they didn't offend nobody, even though they didn't have to pay taxes because they were part of the Jews, and the Jews were the Israelites, and they didn't have to pay, but all the strangers in town had to pay the taxes. So the Lord said, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go down there and wet a hook, and first fish that you catch, you look under his tongue, get that money out of there, and go down there and pay taxes for me and you. So the Lord wasn't ashamed to talk about money, and he talked about Judas carrying around the bag, you know, he was the treasurer for the crowd. And the Lord knew what Judas was up to and knew his heart all through it and everything else and what he thought about money and things like that and tithing and stewardship and stuff like that. But nevertheless, even after the Lord resurrected and ascended back to the right hand of the Father, the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to speak of it in the New Testament. So we need to understand that the Lord, in the Scriptures, wants us to make it a subject of money, a subject of obeying him when it comes to money, so that he can get things done. And the Lord could snap his fingers and have all the money he wanted to if he could, right? But he teaches us at the same time, and the Lord is so wonderful about that. He can take and he can accomplish 5-10 different things in one setting. He just gets things done and changes people's hearts and just all kinds of stuff with one little old thing. He's amazing. But here we go. We're going to begin today. And we left off with the very last thing that we talked about was that, is tithing scriptural. And we went through that and talked about Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Malachi and the Lord Jesus Christ and all the rest of them. And the Apostle Paul and God himself talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. So today we're going to ask the question, start out and begin, ask the question, how should Christians practice tithing? How? Well, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Now, that ain't got anything to do with tithing, but it's got to do with the principle of what your heart ought to be like when it comes to tithing and it comes to stewardship, and how a Christian ought to tithe. A Christian ought to tithe because he wants to. Because he wants to, and because his Lord has brought the subject up. And, I mean, if we were in heaven right now and the Lord Jesus Christ walked up and wanted to talk to us, and we're standing there talking, and he says, "I got something I want to talk to y'all about." All our ears, we'd stop everything we was doing and listen to him, wouldn't we? And would be anxiously waiting about the subject that he wanted to talk about. And if he brought tithing up, tithing's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to listen to. Well, same way with his word. If the Lord brings the subject up of tithing, we should learn. And we should understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible even says that, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And why? Because the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ makes me do the things I do, makes me listen to the things I listen to, makes me accomplish the things that I think the Lord wants me to accomplish. Just gives me all my motivation, the love of Christ. Not the love of the world, not the love of what the world says is between the lust of the world, that is, and what they call love. The love of Christ is nothing to do with the love having to do with this world and what they call love. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. We've weighed this thing out, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. It's got a lot of truth in it that we need to remember. If we can keep that right at the edge of our memories and fall back on it before we make a decision, that'll put everything in its proper order, doesn't it? But how should Christians practice tithing? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, we've seen that. And it's, you know, under the law, tithing was commanded. But under grace, we don't give legalistically. I mean, it's like over in the socialist and the communistic countries and things like that, where they check up on you, see if you're giving your penny, and things like that. You know how America's headed toward. But because we love the Lord, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead. We don't do things like the world. We don't think like the world when it comes to obeying the Lord. We obey Him because we love Him and because of the wonderful, kind things that He's done for us, and that we want to be kind back to Him. Do you think God would ask any less love, or less faith, or less cheerful giving from a New Testament Christian than from a Jew under the law? Tithing for the Christian is not a matter of bondage, it's a matter of honor. Your tithing relationship's between you and the Lord, not you and the assembly, and the assembly and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. The Lord knows what kind of money you got because He give it to you. He knows if you got a bunch. He knows if you got an abundance. He knows if you got two mites. He knows if you have to buy food every day for your family to eat because you're so poor. He knows. He knows. And He promised that He'd take care of us. And He does. But this matter of problems, especially in today's society, this matter of problems that we have with this money and this lust of money and the love of money and the coveting that's always just pounded into your brain and that stinking one-eyed monster in your living room. You need this and you need that and you need this and you need that. I mean, it's a constant fight to kick that stuff out of your mind, to tell yourself, no, I don't need that stuff. Because breaking it down, we can live on almost nothing. We really don't need anything because the Lord keeps His promises. And you ain't out of something until you're out of it. You don't need something until you don't have anything. If you need some sugar, it's because you ain't got none. If you need some milk, it's because you ain't got none. And not having, well, I ain't got 4 gallons in there. I only got 3 gallons. I need to get another gallon. Because I usually keep 4. That's not, you don't have to live like that. It's because of the way the world is preaching and teaching and pounding it in and programming you that you need this and you need that and you need this. I mean, you go out and you see you've been watching all these commercials on that TV and seeing all the signs and everything else, and you're going along and you pull over in a parking lot and look at the cars and trucks, and there you go an hour later driving out of there with a $75,000 truck and an $800 a month payment plus insurance plus gas plus everything else and waiting for it to get scratched. Christians ought not be living like that. The Lord said that He don't want us living under the yoke of the world. He wants us to live under His yoke. And His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The Lord said not to owe any man anything. That's how we are to live, is not owing anybody. You might not have nothing, but you don't owe anybody. And that's the way a Christian's supposed to live. But how should Christians practice tithing? It shouldn't be a matter of paying bills because you're in debt versus tithing. Absolutely not, because the Lord said for us not to owe anybody and keep. You say, well, that's the way the world is. No, that's the way the world says it is. That's not the way it is, because you can live on almost nothing. It's just all that programming everybody's putting into your mind that you need to be like this if you're going to be somebody. Well, we're already somebody. We're born again. We're sons of God. And that's all that matters. And when it comes to tithing, it shouldn't be a matter of whether the world gets it or the Lord gets it. The Lord gets it. The world can stick it up their nose. Because you don't need everything. You don't need nothing down here. You can live on almost nothing. And you can do that. It's just a matter of getting your mind straightened out as far as your thinking and what the Bible says. But when it comes to tithing and practicing tithing, how should we practice it? Well, practice it because the love of Christ constrains us. And the Lord would not expect anything less from us than he would somebody that was under the law. But we're under grace. We ought to count it an honor to do something for the Lord. And the way that the world teaches you and trains your mind, that's why you got to get off of that stuff and quit listening to all that garbage, because it's lies and it's false and it's not the way the Lord wants us to think, and not the kind of thinking that the Lord wants us to have in our mind. The Lord indeed does give us everything that we need, and he said that he'll give us all things if we'll ask him, and he sees that it's not going to be bad for us, and it was his will. He takes care of us in a matter of giving to us and taking care of us. And we get genuine joy. And the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. You go in there and buy a $75,000 truck or a $80,000 car and leave out of there. And now you're in debt. $80,000, and you leave out of there and you're driving a car. And the first thing you got to do is go over and put gas in it. And he takes the rest of the money out of your billfold to do it and your bank account to do it, because you let some knucklehead talk you into doing something that the world says is something. And the only thing you're doing is the same thing you did from that six, is driving back home versus driving up there in the one that you came up in there. Nothing changed except you're in debt to the world. And now you can't tithe. Because you're in bondage to the world, you see. And that's not the way to do it. That's not the way for a Christian to be. How should Christians practice tithing? We should practice it because we love the Lord and we live in the Lord's ways. The Lord tells us how to live. And when you read your Bible and you believe it enough to put it in practice, then it'll work out. It does every time. That's not all. Where should Christians place his or her tithe? Well, the Bible tells us where we should place it. But in today's society and the way that things are changing, and this being part of the end times, you should really keep that before the Lord concerning your tithe. And the bottom line is where the Lord wants you, where the Lord tells you to tithe, you tithe. You are not committed to no church building. You're not committed to the assembly. You're not committed to the apostles' feet. You're not committed in the scriptures to give your tithe, the only thing, to any specific place. It's not in there. The Lord said, let's just go over it and we'll see what the Lord says. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough for you to receive it." Now, that's the Lord talking to the Jews in the Old Testament. Under the law. Okay? Now, when it comes to, you see, when it comes to the Pauline epistles, and that's what we serve the Lord under, is the Pauline epistles. If the all of the Bible is written to you, but all the Bible is not for you. All of the Bible is for you. Excuse me, I said that backward. All the Bible is for you, but all of it's not written to you. Some of the Bible is specifically written for the Jewish people. And that doesn't mean that it's not for you. I mean, you can read it just like we did. But this is Old Testament, what we just read in Malachi, where the Lord's commanded them to bring it to the storehouse. Well, you don't have a storehouse. The storehouse was the temple. That's where they stored. That's where it was. And the Jews would bring it, and the Lord was giving them a blessing and giving them said, if you'll bring it and prove me and see if I'll take care of you, if you'll do this. The principle is there. But if there's something in the Old Testament that's specifically for the Jews or Old Testament doctrine, it can still be used as long as it lines up with the Pauline epistles. Because when Paul come along, things changed. The Lord changed some things. Okay, but as long as anything in the Bible lines up with the Pauline epistles and what Paul said in his books about what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us and the New Testament ways, that if it lines up, you can use it and keep going with it. And there is the principle there. Bring ye all the tithes. Well, the Lord's interested in the tithes, and he's interested in the tithes today. So that lines up with the Pauline epistle, doesn't it? So we can use that. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The Bible does not have a storehouse in the New Testament. It has an assembly. And when the church started in the book of Acts, it was not a building. It was people's houses that they went to and assembled. When the Bible talks about an assembly, it's not talking about a building. It's talking about the body of Christ, the people of the body of Christ, the church, not the building, all coming together in the assembly, local assembly. You live over here, you ain't gonna assemble over in Portugal. You see, you're a local assembly all over the world, and the body of Christ is spread out all over the world. There's people in Taiwan that are our brothers and sisters, people in China, people over here, but in some under persecution that can't assemble. You see, it's different. But as long as the Old Testament scripture lines up with the Pauline epistles, you can use it and as much as you can. But if it doesn't line up and it crosses the Pauline epistles, we go with the Pauline epistles and the New Testament. Now, that doesn't cancel out any of the scriptures. It's changes that the Lord made in some things, okay? Now, don't let that bother you and don't let that upset you, because your Bible is still, every word of God is pure. Except some of it's just not written specifically for you. It's written for the Jews and written for this and the Old Testament and everything. The Old Testament is still just as active as it ever was, and there's still stuff in the Old Testament that's not been achieved yet, not been taken, not come to pass yet. There's still prophecies in the Old Testament that still have not come to pass. The second coming of the Lord's all over the Old Testament, and that hasn't happened yet. And many other things. Now, the Old Testament prophesied that the Lord Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Did that come to pass? Yes, it did. So that's done. That's done. But the Old Testament is still sending people to hell. It's that law that's sending people to hell. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came in and he paid the sacrifice. He paid the penalty for our sins by his shed blood, and was the propitiation. Propitiation is where the Lord makes the atonement. And then he takes the blood and he hands it to the Father, and the Father receives it willingly and is satisfied. That's propitiation, where the Father is satisfied with the payment. If I walked up and handed him my life, my sinful, dirty rag, lighter than vanity life, he'd laugh at me because it's not going to make the payment for sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ did, and he accepted it, and the Lord Jesus Christ's payment was the propitiation, you see. Okay, we learn these things, and we'll get into all that kind of stuff and keep going. I don't know how I got this far, but getting back to what we're talking about, I wanted you to understand that when we read the Old Testament, it is just as valid as it can be, only because it lines up with the New Testament of what the Lord has taught us. Okay, as far as the New Testament and the new covenant that the Lord's given us. All right, it says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. So the Lord's interested in tithes. We read that in the New Testament. That there may be meat in mine house. Okay, well, the Lord doesn't have a house now. The house is the church. The house is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. God doesn't dwell in a house anymore. He dwells within us, you see. We are the temple of God. It's different, see? But we can still use it. Why? And prove me now herewith. The Lord's still that way. The Lord wants us to prove Him. Try me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where there won't be room enough to hold it. And the Lord does do that. And you should take Him up on that. Okay, Lord, You said. And then you start giving, and guess what you're going to do? Eventually you're going to have a heart to where, Lord, You don't have to give me nothing. I give You everything. And that's how you'll end up, and that's what the Lord wants anyway. And that's what you want, is to have a heart like the Lord Jesus Christ's heart. You see? But, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What we're talking about is, where should a Christian place his tithe? The bottom line to where a Christian ought to place his tithe is the Bible. Well, let's just move on. It'll explain itself. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where we just read that, tithes were to be brought into the storehouse. All right, now that was for the Jews. The storehouse was the treasury of the temple at Jerusalem. Okay, that's not for us today. We don't have a temple in Jerusalem that we go to, and that was for the Jews anyway. You see? So what about the New Testament? Where should the Christian place his tithe? All right, let's move on. Acts, the book of Acts. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 35 and 37, it said, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Having land, sold it. Remember that. That fellow went out and one of the early Christians went out and sold all of his land, brought the money in, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then you remember another couple, Ananias and Sapphira, tried that same thing. But before they brought it to the apostles' feet, they took some of it out and put it and hid it, and then brought the rest of it in, laid it at the apostles' feet, and pretended that they'd done the same thing. And they got, God killed them for it, for lying to the Holy Ghost. But right about that time, now I said all that to say this, in Acts chapter 4, it's changing over, tithing is changing over from the Old Testament and the way that the Jews did it to the New Testament. But it's still money, and it's still given to the Lord, and it's still setting it aside and bringing it. But at this time, this is not full New Testament doctrine on tithing and stewardship, and I'll tell you why. Because we don't have any apostles anymore. There's no apostles to bring it to. In the early church, at the assembly, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died, He resurrected, and when He assembled, right about that time is when the Gentiles started getting into the church and was able to get into the body of Christ and be saved. And salvation was going from works and faith over to nothing but faith and grace. You get saved absolutely free. In the Old Testament, you had to work for it, you see. All right? So that's changing too. But we don't have no apostles to bring it to their feet, you see. And it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, just like I said a minute ago, Ananias and Sapphira, and borrowed a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see, that's not what we do today. There's no apostles. There's no place for us to assemble with apostles. And the Bible doesn't tell us in the Pauline epistles to bring it to the apostles' feet. So what does a Christian do? All right. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Now we're getting into the Pauline epistles, see. 1 Corinthians, let's see what it says in chapter 16, verse 2. It says, upon the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. The Lord resurrected on Sunday. The first day of the week is when the Bible tells us that let every one of you, this is Paul talking, let every one of you, now that's how many included? Every one of us. Let every one of you lay by him, that's yourself, lay by yourself in store. What's in store? Saving it. Setting it aside, and it's not yours, save it. It's the Lord's. Now listen, the Bible said this is when everything's changing, and it's getting into the doctrine of the New Testament church and how money's supposed to be. But it's still tithing, and it's still bringing it, and it's still the Lord's. But the command is, upon the first day of the week, every Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, that was Paul talking about, I'm coming and I'm going to pick up all your tithes and everything, and I'm going to take it to the people that you have designated it for as a gift. But he said he just wanted it taken up so that when he gets there, he ain't got to wait for it to be taken up. But the command is, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. There is your doctrine. Okay, you are to, now, what about people if they get paid every 2 weeks? How are they gonna lay aside every Sunday when they don't get paid but every other Sunday? What about people get paid every month? You see, the doctrine is not particularly, the first day of the week is when all the Christians and the early church met. And that's when we are to meet, when we assemble. But what about all the people that are over in persecution in communistic countries, our brothers and sisters that cannot assemble? Are they disobeying the Lord? Absolutely not. The Lord's not talking. He's not putting weight on us. He's taking weight off of us. But the principle of giving is that upon the first day of the week, that's when we meet, if we can meet, all of us, in a local assembly, wherever you're at, the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside by him in store as God hath prospered him. In other words, if the Lord, whatever the Lord has given you, you're to take a tithe out of that and set it aside yourself. Let him, you, do it. You set it aside. Now, what if you ain't got a place to bring it and you're having a home church? You're having church at home. And the world's moving toward that, by the way, because persecution's fixing to come in and they're fixing to start messing with the churches to where they're going to try to control what you do. And if you're a true worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ and a Bible believer, you might have to home church. And that, what I mean by that is just the way they did in the early part of the church. The reason they met in houses is because they were scared of the Jews. The Jews were out to kill them because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't meet out in the open. Man, after the Lord died, the apostles were upstairs in the upper room where they had the Last Supper, and they had the door locked because the Bible said they were in fear of the Jews going to kill them. But when it comes to tithing, the principle is for you to lay your tithe aside in front of the Lord from your heart to his heart, that you take that and you lay it aside yourself as God hath prospered you. If he's given you $1,000 that week, you know what to do. We've already talked about that. But you do it. You set it aside. It is set aside and it is allocated for the Lord. It is the Lord's. Whether you got a place to take it or whether you don't, it's set aside. I know brothers and sisters that are tithing in places to where they keep it right there available for the Lord when the Lord tells them where to put it. But it's set aside. The principle is that you set aside what the Lord has prospered you. That's the principle. That's the doctrine. That's tithing in the New Testament. Now, where you give it is going to be different for where you live, where you're able to assemble, where you're able to, who you're able to assemble with. I mean, it's different everywhere. The people in communistic countries cannot go exactly by like what the Bible says there as far as that. And that's not disobedience. That's situation. And the Lord knows that. But nevertheless, I remember one of our brothers, I can't think of his name right off the bat, but he was one of the persecuted over in Russia, and he told a story about him and all the other guys that were in there that were Christian, locked up in there, that they'd come and get one of them every day and take them out and beat them and then bring them back in. He said, and they got a piece of bread every day. And he said when they got that piece of bread every day, they would tithe 10% of their bread tear 10% of their bread off, and every one of them would tithe to the guy that was beaten so that he would have more nutrition to get better. That's not exactly like what we're talking about. But they obeyed the Lord because upon the first day of the week, they laid aside in store how the Lord had prospered them. They took 10% of their bread and tithed it, and the Lord said, give it to the guy that's been beaten. Was that disobeying the Lord? Absolutely not. The Lord said we don't go by traditions of men. We go by what the Bible says. Now, there are people out there who tell you, you bring it to the church no matter what. That's not Scripture. Let's move on. Are you getting this? So what's the commandment? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So let's move on. I'm running out of battery. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why are we to place our tithe into the church? If you have a church to go to, and what we was talking about before was where should we put it? The principle's there. You cannot say where until, but the principle is New Testament doctrine. We know what to do with the money that God has prospered us, right? But where we give it is according to where we're at and according to what the Lord's got us doing and according to where the Lord wants us to tithe it. But the Bible nowhere in the Scriptures says for us to bring it to the church. It doesn't say it. Now, let's move on. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Why we are to place our tithe in the church. If you have an assembly, a Bible-believing assembly, not one that's teaching apostasy and teaching lies and teaching all this garbage that's in the world and the theatrical Christianity that's in the world and the rock and roll Christianity that's in the world and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about Bible-believing assemblies. If you're lucky enough to have one of them today, and you have a true fellowship there, you bring your tithes to the assembly, and you tithe there, so that that assembly will have the funds to be able to do what needs to be done for the assembly there, like for the poor and for the upkeep and whatever you need, hymnals and things like that to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord when you come together. But if you can't, what do you do with it? You set it aside until you get commandment from the Lord, because it's the Lord's. You're taking care of it. You're a steward over that. Do you understand? Okay. Now let's just see what the Bible says. The Bible says that there may be meat in my house. Now, why are we to place it in the church? Well, Malachi gave us a principle back there, but it's not New Testament because the Lord doesn't have a house in the New Testament. Not until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming and sets up his kingdom here on earth in the millennial reign, then there will be a house of the Lord. There is not a house of the Lord right now. The house of the Lord is within us. The Holy Ghost dwells in us. We are the temple of the Lord. The tithes and offerings that that were used for the temple and the temple ministry, that is the priests and the upkeep of the temple and all that kind of stuff, that's what they did. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13 and 14 said, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? In other words, all the priests and the Levites, the Lord had everybody tithe to the temple, and all the but they were tithing animals, and they were tithing meat, and they were tithing corn and grain, and just all the things that they grew and things like that, not just necessarily money. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. If you're lucky enough to have an assembly and it's a Bible-believing assembly and you got a shepherd, an under-shepherd, a pastor that takes care of you and preaches to you and teaches you the Bible, then you ought to be tithing where he's at. If he's feeding you and he's doing the Lord's work, the Bible says that's the principle of your tithing, is to take care of him. And in some places it even says that he's worthy of double honor. But it's important for the Lord's man and the Lord's person that feeds you and takes care of you and feeds you with the Word of God and keeps you spiritually healthy for you to give your tithe there. And if you've got an assembly to do that, you do it. But if you don't have an assembly, the Bible commands you to set it aside upon the first day of the week. And the first day of the week in the New Testament means when you get paid. When God prospers you, lay it aside. And if you're lucky enough to have an assembly that's Bible-believing and believes that Bible and goes by what that Bible says and you gather there, take it to the assembly. You getting this? It's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." This New Testament, "every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." In other words, you can't outgive the Lord. You hear people say that. I'm telling you, I testify of it. You can't outgive the Lord. And if you give of your heart and you, instead of necessity, and you purpose in your heart, "This is what I'm going to do for you, Lord," and you do it, God ain't never going to let you be out of nothing. It says he gives you all sufficiency in all things. And he does. Malachi says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." The Bible says that there's also something called offerings. The Bible says that if we refuse to tithe, it's just like robbing God. That's Old Testament, but it's still the Lord's opinion because it's a commandment for you to lay it aside. And if you don't lay it aside and use it for yourself, you're being stingy and you're stealing from God because it's His to begin with, and He's already giving you 90%. You see? But then there's an offering over and above the tithe. The tithe is doctrine. The tithe is, God said, do it. And I don't want to argue about it. I don't want to talk about it. Just do it. But then it says in Malachi, tithes and offerings. Something that you can bring to the Lord over and above your tithe. And when you do that, the Lord is just talking about an obedient heart, but giving requires is a purposeful heart. A heart that purposes to serve God, that loves the Lord. Let me see where I'm at. In the book of Exodus, chapter 35 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." You remember that, when they were taking up a special offering to do the Lord's work on that house and on God's house and stuff like that. But it said of a willing heart, whoever wants to. If you don't want to give, don't give. If you don't want to offer to the Lord, then don't, because the Lord would rather not have your money grudgingly than for you to give it. He would rather not have your money and you keep it than you bring it and be a fake. The Lord says to tithe, to offer, to make offerings to Him because you love Him and because you want to give Him something. And the Lord Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive, so you're the one that's going to be getting the blessing out of it anyway. And if you're any kind of Christian that has given before, sometimes, giving requires sacrifice. That's why a lot of people have problems with it, because giving is given and not expecting anything in return of anything, not anything in return. You just give it. And you're the one that makes the sacrifice. Nobody else has to do nothing. An offering. Ezra chapter 1 verse 4 says, "And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts besides the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." You notice the Bible said besides the free will offering. That was in Jerusalem. If you want to make an offering, make it an offering, but that's beside what you're supposed to do. Now, that's Bible. That's what the Bible said in Corinthians. Upon the first day of the week. Okay, that was talking about the tithe. And then the Bible talks about, in 2 Corinthians 8:5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." There's people bragging on Christians taking up an offering and giving to them and bragging on them that they gave of themselves unto the Lord. And that turned out to be a blessing because that's what they wanted to do. Amen. All right. So we're talking about tithing and offering, and that winds it up. There's more that we could talk about, but I think we got the principle down. Set it aside. It's God's. And if you ain't got nowhere to put it, set it aside. And no matter what it is or what happens, it's the Lord's. And when the Lord will tell you where to put it, and you put it there, no matter what anybody says, do with the Lord's. It's the Lord's, right? You don't just, and don't take it to a bunch of people that are doing unscriptural stuff and doing things that make God mad. If they're not obeying the Word of God, not preaching the Word of God, not teaching the Word of God, you'd be concerned about that. And as far as God's money, you're the steward of it. You're the ones that's supposed to take it where He says to take it. If you have assembly that's good and it's scriptural and they're preaching the Word of God, take it. If you don't have a pastor and you don't have anybody and you're churching at home, set that stuff aside and give it where the Lord says to give it. And it's just as good tithe. Okay? All right. You don't plan it. You let the Lord tell you. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." You can't outgive the Lord. There's the promise right there. Tithing and stewardship. Amen. All right, well, let me give you these verses. You ready? Because I'm fixing to run out of battery and I don't want to be cut off. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Malachi 3:10, Acts 4:35 and 37, Acts 5, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Exodus chapter 35, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Ezra chapter 3, verse 5, and 7, verse 16, and 8, verse 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, 9, verse 7, and 9, verse 8. And the last verse is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Well, the Lord bless you. That's the conclusion of our study of tithing and stewardship. I sped it up right there at the end, and I wouldn't have done that except this battery's fixing to quit, and I don't want this to be all messed up. But we got the principle of it. The New Testament does talk about tithing. You're commanded to tithe. But you are not commanded as the Old Testament says and all the stuff that some of the churches are teaching, which is not true. You're commanded to lay it aside and give it to the Lord. It's the Lord's. And if you're a Christian, you ought to be doing that. No matter what you make and what the Lord gives you, give the Lord His and He'll take care of you. And if you can offer to Him, offer to Him. And the Lord said, "Whatever you give me, I'll give it back to you." And He'll give it back to you, and it'll be nothing but a blessing to you. It'll be like those $5 bills are spending like $20 bills. Or he might give it to you in food or clothes or something like that. He might not give you money, but he'll give you stuff that you don't have to spend no money and you don't need no money. The Lord is good, and he's wonderful when it comes to tithing and stewardship. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Well, the Lord bless you. We've had a good day. Good study, tithing and stewardship. Let's see, L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U. We'll go into you the next one. And you be here. God bless you for loving the Lord and studying his word. Talk to you on the next one. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.